Hi, I'm Anjali Dodia. I'm at the University of Idaho, and I'm very excited to be here speaking to two members of Imani Wins, who have graciously allowed me to interrupt their dress rehearsal today. Imani Wins is performing tonight here in Moscow at the Auditorium Chamber Music Series at the University of Idaho. I'm speaking here with Jeff Scott, the horn player for the group, and Monica Ellis, bassoon.
Very nice to meet you.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So I wanted to start by asking about the origins of Imani Wins, because as I understand it, Valerie Coleman, as the founder of the ensemble, she saw a need when she was a student. Can you tell me more about that?
Sure. She saw that there weren't many ensembles with professionals of color out there doing touring and commissioning, and she saw that with that void, it was important that there be some representation, especially for wind instruments. There are more opportunities perhaps for pianists and violinists, but you very rarely see African Americans, Latinas playing oboe, bassoon, French horn in chamber music settings. So she decided to start Imani Wins.
Also, at the time, it was going to be an outlet for her own music. As a composer, she did not have many role models in that capacity growing up, and so she felt like this would be a great opportunity for not only the playing side, her flute performance side, to be accentuated, but for her skills as a composer to rise. And truly, over the years, her music, as well as Jeff's music — Jeff is a fantastic composer and arranger in his own right — that's defined the sound of Imani Wins, I think. We certainly have gone forth and done so many other things, but that core, just incredible, powerful sound that I think the group can make has grown and been manifested through the music of Jeff and Valerie.
So how did you two get involved with the ensemble?
Well, it was a cold call. We tell this story over and over the years, and it never changes. Val just, she had the name of the ensemble before she knew the members that were going to be in it. And she tells the story that the name just sort of came to her one day. But then she went about seeking out the members. And the original clarinet player, Miriam Adam, was a friend of hers who she had done a festival with. So she called her first. And then started asking around for recommendations, and one by one we became the people that she was introduced to, and that was now 23 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 23
mm-hmm.
years ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Such a long-running ensemble, and you've been so successful in, you know, sharing your music and also bringing this, like you said, serving music and representing these underrepresented groups. And because you come from such diverse backgrounds, I know many of your fans do too, that you are role models for, like I said, underrepresented people, but also young artists of color. Mm-hmm. And you also believe that modern music should reflect or maybe be a lens for the world that we live in today. Mm-hmm. Can you speak a bit to that?
Sure, absolutely. Well, firstly, I think being a wind quintet, we'll just talk logistics for a second. We don't have that much music. So firstly, as a wind quintet, we don't have a history, I should say, of canon, of Beethoven, of even Mozart going back that far, but music that were written by the classical composer classics. So, you know, those household names of Brahms, of like I said, Beethoven, of Tchaikovsky, they did not write for the wind quintet. So right away, if you want to sustain yourself in a career, you have to think about modern music. You have to think about music that was written in the 20th century. And so we like to say we play music from the last 100 years and the next 100 years. And of course, the last 100 years constitutes the 1900s. So we do have a core set of pieces that are by certain name brands, so to speak, composers from the early part of the 1900s. But nowadays, we are not only commissioning present-day composers to write for us, but we're asking these composers and asking it of ourselves, how can we look at the world around us, and we're talking about representation, right? It really matters. It matters to have art that reflects the world that we live in. Yeah. So, for instance, we actually have just finished a recording project that is really exciting for us. We're playing a piece by an Indian American woman composer that we recorded, rather, entitled "The Light Is the Same." Concept being we all are looking at the same set of stars in the sky. So we may be from different backgrounds, we may be from different ethnicities, but that light is the same. That's the same thing. We recorded a piece by MacArthur Fellow grant recipient from a few years back, Vijay Iyer. He wrote a piece for us that is a sextet that very provocative that talks about the Stand Your Ground law in Florida shortly after the Trayvon Martin murder happened and the George Zimmerman trial occurred and just the provocative nature of that and let's talk about these difficult issues through the lens, as you said, of modern chamber music, since that is our expertise. We feel like I think there's a responsibility, you know, to show that. At the same time, we want to just make beautiful music, and we want to make people happy and get a sense of relief and joy as you're coming to an Imani Wins concert. So there's a mix of all of that, a blend of all of that, and we hope after all of these years we're still rising to that occasion.
So, jumping off of that, you know, people come to an Imani Wins concert, they can expect so much more than that harmony music type wind repertoire. Is it safe to say that people should kind of check their classical music expectations at the door?
It would be safe to say that. Again, you know, what Monica was saying earlier, we don't have Mozart and Bach and Beethoven and Haydn and all that. And so it's just not going to be a possibility. There are ensembles who go about doing arrangements of some of those classic works, and some of them actually do fare well for the winds. Since we're a real progressive, forward-thinking ensemble, you know, we very rarely dabble in that music and really look towards modern composers and just really like fresh ideas, fresh combinations, you know. And so very often we'll do collaborations with people who have no history at all in classical music. And you know, we've done music with tango professionals. Help me out here, Monica. Give me some.
Sure, right. Well, we've collaborated with singers. We've done, we play music that does have just kind of outside of the classical music canon, that typical sound that you would expect. Also, I think people have, like you say, check those expectations. They don't expect winds to have the wide range of volume, frankly. There's sort of a, you know, quote, light and fluffy thinking that winds say, oh, it's a flute and it's nice and calm and quiet. And that's not to say we just play, you know, forte all the time. but we do like to really kind of squash those preconceived notions.
Yeah.
So it's not just going to be, you know, little light and fluffy stuff. It's going to have a big sound. It's going to have very intimate qualities as well. We're playing another piece tonight on the concert by a Swedish composer named Anders Hilborg, and he really kind of embodies, this piece at least embodies the extremes. There's a moment of just the most beautiful intimate sound, and then there's just this wild, massively crazy bassoon, happens to be a bassoon cadenza that Mark, our clarinetist likes to say is a combination between late John Coltrane and a Jimi Hendrix solo. So, you know, but he just, for about 30 seconds, he decides to just go way outside of the box. So, we love this idea of just shaking it up. We love when people, it's a slightly backhanded compliment, but people will say, I didn't expect to like you. and we say, we'll take it.
And that's the thing. I think when a lot of listeners approach modern music, they're kind of intimidated because it can be pretty difficult for people to listen to if they're used to listening to Mozart and Beethoven. But that's what I really love about what you do is you bring in all these different genres that people are very familiar with today, and you kind of bridge that gap between what is contemporary art music and this.
And also, you know, we do a lot of talking in the concert itself. We don't just leave you out there to fend for yourself as a listener, you know, just deal with it, you know. No, we want you to be empowered, actually, as a listener. And we want you to enjoy the concert as much as we enjoy presenting it to you. And so we will talk about the pieces that we're presenting. No dissertation, mind you, but we just give you a few points to check out, just give you a perspective of where the composer was coming from when they wrote it, a few things to just listen for. And I think that really, really helps with the experience because you kind of come into it with a little bit more information and that allows for your ears to be more open and receptive.
So can you give us a little spiel about something that you're playing on your concert tonight? Not all of our listeners will be able to come tonight, unfortunately. But tell us a little bit about what you're going to play for us today.
Well, we're starting the concert off with probably the most classical piece in our repertoire, the Bolzano Scherzo. It's really one of those things where, since our program is really varied and wildly varied, we decided to really go for almost like the extremes of the different genres that we're offering tonight. And so the most classic and beautiful and light of the French classics, and then we'll go to some really, really genre-bending sort of contemporary wind music.
So this is Imani Wins performing the Scherzo by Bozza.
Thank you.
I'm speaking to Jeff Scott, who is the horn player, and Monica Ellis, who's bassoonist, with Imani Winds. They were playing there the Scherzo by Bozza. Another work on your program is something by the founder of the group, Valerie Coleman. Can you tell me about the Tsigan?
Yeah, it's reminiscent of the sort of Roma people? Yeah, Roma people, and that it's very gypsy influenced. It's a tour de force work with big features in the clarinet and really the flute part. It's really signature Valerie Coleman writing, in that she stretches the what she asks of each individual player to do. Big romantic solos, functional harmonies in extreme ranges, rhythmic passages in extreme ranges, and then like the most drastic of color changes, like at the flip of the dime, you know. And so the piece really, it ends up sounding often to me like there's just about four or five more people on stage sometimes, you know. It just brings that sort of dynamic to it.
So here's Imani Winds performing Valerie Coleman's Tsigan.
Thank you.
Imani Wins performing Valerie Coleman's Tzigan. I'm Anjali Dodia, speaking here with Jeff Scott, horn player, and Monica Ellis, bassoon player, with Imani Wins. The two of you, thank you so much for speaking with me today. Have a great dress rehearsal, and have a great concert tonight at the Auditorium Chamber Music Series in Moscow.
Thanks you for having us. Thank you.